Scripture reading this morning will be from Proverbs 17, 4 through 7, and then also from Acts 9, 1 through 20. So if you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. An evildoer listens to wicked lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. He who mocks the poor reproaches his maker. He who rejoices at calamity will not go unpunished. Grandchildren are the crown of old men, and the glory of sons is their father's. Excellent speech is not fitting for a fool, much less are lying lips to a prince. And then to Acts 9. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And it came about that as he journeyed, he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and it shall be told you what you must do." And the men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. And Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias?" And he said, "Behold, here am I, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Arise, and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in, and lay his hands on him, so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call upon thy name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight. And he arose and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus. And immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." This ends the reading of God's Word. Please be seated. Let's pray. O Lord, we thank you so much for bringing us here. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you are doing in us. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we ask now as we open your word, we pray that you would teach us. Lord, we pray that we would hear from you. Lord, that you would instruct us in the way we should go, that you would encourage us and strengthen us. Lord, that in our weakness, that you would be strong and that we would see the glory of God, that we would realize how weak we are, and that we would realize even more and be thankful more and more for Christ and what you are doing for us and in us. Lord, we just ask now that you would teach us. I pray that you would protect your sheep from my error. Lord, we just ask that you would bless this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're going to look at four more verses in Proverbs, and they have to do with listening, with showing compassion, relationships, and speech. And as we go through these verses, I want you to consider these areas in your own life and consider the difference that Christ is making. You see, Christ is changing you. We read the account of Paul's conversion because it's such a great example. It's so clear what Paul was like before Christ and what Paul was like after Christ. You see, at the beginning, he was persecuting the church. He was hunting them down. But then at the end, he's proclaiming Christ. He's the Son of God. You see, this is the great change that Christ makes in the lives of his children. And it's easy for us to see in Paul's life. But understand, this great change is happening in your life if you are his child. So as we go through here, in these four verses, I want you to consider the effects of Christ in your life in these areas. So verse 4, he changes who you listen to. Verse 5, he changes how you treat others. Verse 6, he changes how you affect others. And then verse 7, he changes how you speak. So as we go through here, and as you consider your own life and consider the effect that Christ is making, may we grow in our thankfulness to God for what he is doing. Christ changes you. So verse 4, he changes who you listen to. Verse 4, an evildoer listens to wicked lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. Who do you listen to? Here in this verse, we see the depraved condition of man apart from Christ. Who will man listen to? You see, the evildoer listens to wicked lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. Now you may think this is strange that someone would pay attention to a destructive tongue, that they would listen. But you see, they're not listening because they're not going to and listening to because they want to be harmed by this destructive tongue. But it's admiration. You see, they're not going to be harmed, but they're going to learn. They're going because they want to grow in wickedness. This listening to wicked lips is for the purpose of growing in wickedness. And also, this isn't just listening. This isn't just paying attention. This isn't just sitting there and hearing words spoken. But it is implied here that this is taking effect. This is applying it. This is listening and obeying what you're being taught here. Putting into action, implementing this wickedness into your own life. You see, men love darkness rather than the light because our deeds are evil. And this verse here in Proverbs really speaks of the slavery to sin that the human race is in. Man left to himself is on a destructive downward spiral, desiring evil and committing more and more sin. in our depraved state, we admire all the wrong people. We seek all the wrong things. And we listen to and take all the wrong advice. We grow from bad to worse, trying to balance living out all of our sinful desires, yet trying to avoid suffering the consequences for our sin. This is sinful man. An evildoer listens to wicked lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. I hope you can see the direction here. You see, it starts out bad enough. You see an evildoer and a liar. That's the beginning. That's the starting point here in this verse. But it only gets worse, doesn't it? The evildoer and the liar are learning from the wicked and destructive. You see, man is in a terrible, terrible condition. A life of sin and destruction. A life of following your own sinful impulses and listening to other wicked men who lead you astray, further and further from the truth. But there's good news, isn't there? You see, when Christ calls his children out of the darkness into his marvelous light, he changes you. He changes your heart, but he also changes who you listen to. John 10, 27 and 28, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish. And no one shall snatch them out of my hand." You see, when Christ changes you, he changes who you listen to. No longer are you a blind fool, listening and being led by blind fools. But now you are his sheep, and you listen to the good shepherd and follow him. And this is just the beginning of the changes. Just like with Saul, Christ changes the entire course of your life. Where before you were living an unstable life of sin and destruction, then Christ rescues you, gives you eternal life, gives you ultimate security. You're in his hands. So an evildoer listens to wicked lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. Praise God. Praise God. He does not leave his children in this condition. But Christ changes us. Through faith in Christ, your ears have been opened so that we hear his voice and follow him. So listen to Christ. Christ changes who you listen to. Verse 5, Christ changes how we treat others. Verse 5, "He who mocks the poor reproaches his maker. He who rejoices at calamity will not go unpunished." Here we see how important it is to the Lord that we show compassion, that we treat others well. Here we see that he will punish those who do not care about others. Now we're given two negative examples here: mocking the poor and rejoicing at others' calamity. Both of these are sin. This is evil. It is wrong to take pleasure in another man's hardship, to rejoice at his pain or suffering. Also, typically, those who rejoice at others' calamity are oftentimes guilty of causing their calamity as well. But this is what the wicked do. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 10. And just listen how the wicked are described here. Listen to how they target the innocent and the unsuspecting. Psalm 10. Why dost thou stand afar off, O Lord? Why dost thou hide thyself in times of trouble? In pride, the wicked hotly pursue the afflicted. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, and the greedy man curses and spurns the Lord. The wicked, in the haughtiness of his countenance, does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. His ways prosper at all times. Thy judgments are on high, out of his sight. As for all his adversaries, he snorts at them. He says to himself, I shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, I shall not be in adversity. His mouth is full of curses and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is mischief and wickedness. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the hiding places, he kills the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the unfortunate. He lurks in a hiding place as a lion in his lair. He lurks to catch the afflicted. He catches the afflicted when he draws him into his net. He crouches, he bows down, and the unfortunate fall by his mighty ones. He says to himself, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thy hand. Do not forget the afflicted. Why has the wicked spurned God? He has said to himself, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou hast beheld mischief and vexation, to take it into thy hand. The unfortunate commits himself to thee. Thou hast been the helper of the orphan. Break the arm of the wicked and the evildoer. Seek out his wickedness until thou dost find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. Nations have perished from his land. O Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt strengthen their heart. Thou wilt incline thine ear to vindicate the orphan and the oppressed, that man who is of the earth may cause terror no more. We see here that the wicked speak arrogantly, and we see that their actions are very cruel. And here in Proverbs, in this verse, we are told two things about these cruel people. First, that they reproach their Maker. In other words, when you mock the poor because he is poor, you are treating God, the one who made both you and the poor man, with scorn and contempt. In making fun of others' misfortunes, you are dishonoring the Lord. You are setting yourself against God. This is no small sin. Secondly, we see here that this will result in God punishing you. You see, you may not fear the poor man, but you had better fear the poor man's God. Psalm 37, 12 through 17 says, the wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and bent their bow to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. Their sword will enter their own heart, and their bows will be broken. Better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked, for the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous. And also Proverbs 22:22-23 says, do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their case and take the life of those who rob them. God will punish those who oppress the poor. It may not be today, but the day is coming. Now, this verse describes terribly wicked, unloving, cruel people. But understand, brothers and sisters, apart from Christ, this is us. This is you and me, apart from Christ. Christ changes you. Where once you were mean and cruel, wanting mercy for yourself, but judgment for everyone else, Christ changes you so that you actually care for others. You show compassion so that you can weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. And so the one who has been changed by Christ is compassionate. They meet the needs of others. They're caring for others, loving others in word and deed. And because of Christ, not only will your life be different today, but Judgment Day will look a lot different as well. This is a great reminder. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, starting in verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right, and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." Then he will also say to those on his left, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they themselves also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The difference is Christ. The difference between the cruel and the compassionate is Christ. Christ changes you. He who mocks the poor reproaches his maker. He who rejoices at calamity will not go unpunished. Praise God. For He has taken mean, cruel men who hate Him and have no regard for the poor. And He changes us. He changes us so that we love Him and show compassion for those in need. Show compassion. Christ changes how we treat others. Verse 6. Christ changes how you affect others. Verse 6 says, "Grandchildren are the crown of old men, and the glory of sons is their fathers." Here in this verse, we see the blessings that children are to their parents and grandparents, as well as the blessings that parents are to their children. Now, as is common in Proverbs, we are here told not of what always is, but of what should be. You see, it is understood that not all children are a blessing to their parents, nor are all parents a blessing to their children. But it is implied that those who are living as they should, those who are living for Christ, serve to be a great blessing and encouragement to their parents and children. The first half of the verse says, "Grandchildren are the crown of old men." First of all, we know that old age in and of itself is a blessing. It is a gift from God to be given many years here upon earth. And while there are certainly downsides to growing old, here we are told of one of the blessings of growing old: grandchildren. Now, you may have heard of different people telling you before how wonderful grandchildren are. Grandparents love to talk about their grandkids. And sometimes maybe you hear them give reasons of why grandkids are so wonderful. And sometimes they will say, you know, grandkids are so great because you can just play with them and enjoy them and spoil them. And then you can just send them back home. And you don't have to deal with all their problems, you know. And you don't have that 24/7 responsibility to care for a child. And so the grandparent enjoys them and enjoys spending time with them. But they enjoy not having to deal with all the discipline issues. But that is not what makes grandchildren so great. It is the encouragement and joy that grandparents get from seeing the next generation following Christ. Remember what John said in 3 John 1:4 concerning those that he had discipled in the faith and cared for. He said, "I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth." And shouldn't this be the case? Shouldn't it bring great joy to those parents and grandparents who have for years labored? They have constantly put effort into discipling their children, praying for them, for their children and grandchildren. So grandchildren are the crown of old men. What an incredible blessing. Like icing on the cake of a good life, to see not only your children, but your grandchildren as well, serving the Lord, living responsibly, living faithfully, serving the same master that you are. To get to see this thrills a grandparent's soul. It brings joy and gladness to their old age. It is truly a reward to get to see your grandchildren following in your footsteps, walking in the light. And so grandchildren are the crown of old men. And the second half of the verse is similar to the first, just the other way around. "And the glory of sons is their fathers." It is a great blessing and encouragement to children to have parents who are following Christ. Now, to help us understand what is being said here, consider the first half of Proverbs 20:29. It says, "The glory of young men is their strength." The glory of young men is their strength. You see, a young man's glory is his strength. A young man is blessed to be strong. And this is not a blessing that he is embarrassed by or tries to hide. You know, it's enjoyable to see a young man enjoying this blessing of strength. You know, young men, they don't try to hide this, you know. They look for opportunities, you know. Oh, you know, I mean, they're just looking for somebody to say, oh, would you move this really heavy thing? I mean, they just eat that up, you know. Oh, yeah. Let's do it. Let's move it. You see, the glory of young men is their strength. And so, as we look back to this verse, the glory of sons is their fathers. You see, it's a blessing to have a godly father. Blessed are those who have parents that are wise and that guide them in the truth. It is an honor and a blessing to have godly parents. Not only as you grow up, but even beyond that, to have godly parents that are still involved in your life and your children's lives, still helping, still encouraging, still sharing wisdom. What a blessing. What a blessing. But again, remember, all parents are not this way. What a blessing to have parents that you are not ashamed of, but that you feel honored to say, he's my father, she's my mother. What a blessing. The glory of sons is their fathers. It is a blessing and encouragement to have godly parents. And so grandchildren are the crown of old men, and the glory of sons is their fathers. And so on both sides of this, whether you are a child, a parent, a grandparent, we see that when Christ changes your life, the lives of your relatives are blessed and encouraged as well. And it is all because of Christ and His changing you. Christ changes how you affect others. Verse 7, Christ changes how you speak. Excellent speech is not fitting for a fool, much less are lying lips to a prince. Here in this verse, we're given two things that do not belong together. Both of them have to do with speech. A fool with excellent speech and a prince with lying lips. Now, these obviously do not go together. Just consider a fool for a moment. A fool is one who has rejected instruction. They don't listen to the truth. They have rebelled. A fool is going the wrong way. The fool's life displays in every way what not to do. And so, can you imagine a fool with excellent speech? A fool teaching and telling others what is right and wise, while their entire life displays everything that is wrong and foolish. This is absurd. Excellent speech is not fitting for a fool. Secondly, much less are lying lips to a prince. Once again, we see speech here that is not fitting. You see, a prince is one in authority. A throne is established on truth and righteousness. And so to have a prince of all people speaking lies, this is not fitting. Now, the main point of this verse is not that each of us should just be ourselves, speak who we are, that a fool should speak foolishly and a wise man should speak wisely. But this verse is instructing the wise man on how to speak appropriately. You see, we can look at the fool and we can see clearly, yeah, that doesn't fit. For a fool who lives like this to say, to speak all the right words and say truth, it doesn't fit. And so we can see that. But we need to examine our own speech carefully. We need to consider Is my speech fitting for a child of God? For one whose life has been bought by the blood of Christ, does my speech reflect that accurately? Is my speech fitting? Now, speech is a very broad topic. There is so much that this verse applies to. We can't begin to cover it all. But I will say that if you're thinking of this verse as concerning profanity or using curse words, that is just a very small part of what this is talking about. How do you use your words? We should consider every use of every word. Are we speaking words of love and mercy? Are we using our words to comfort others, to encourage them? Are we speaking words of truth and wisdom? Are we sharing wise counsel? Or are we speaking words of praising ourselves? Words of judgment and criticizing others? Do we use our words to try to make ourselves look good? Is my speech fitting for a follower of Jesus Christ? And as we examine our speech, we remember that our mouth simply overflows out of our heart. And so, as we examine our speech, we recognize that ultimately we must examine our heart. And we recognize that apart from Christ, our heart would not be changed, and our speech would not be changed either. Praise God for the way that He is working in us. He is changing our hearts and our speech. So Christ changes how you speak. In conclusion, we recognize that in each of these areas, in who we listen to, in how we care for others, in encouraging those around us, and in speaking appropriately, we recognize that although we have not arrived, understand that all of the progress that we have made, we can take no credit for. It's Christ. Christ is changing you. And so may we be humble. And may there be no boasting unless it is in Christ and what He is doing. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank You so much for these instructions from Proverbs. Lord, we recognize as we read through these, Lord, we recognize our sin. Lord, we recognize the terrible condition that we would be in apart from Christ. Lord, we thank You for the work that You are doing. Lord, please humble our pride. Lord, please help us that we would not seek to take credit for the work that You are doing in us. Lord, we thank You for the ways that You're working in us. Lord, we ask that You would continue to bless, that You would continue to work, Lord, that You would continue to sanctify Your people. We pray that we would glorify You more and more. Thank You, Jesus, for changing us. It's in Your name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.